Today, I need your advice, Sophia. I lack a lot of confidence and I catch myself having incredibly invasive self-talk. How do you think I can get rid of this self-talk, especially when I'm prone to believe it's at least 60% true?
Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, a space where we discover the abundant possibilities of who we can choose to be. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Talon. We've had over 200 conversations over the last 4 years where we dig deep into and unpack expectations and possibilities in career, well-being, family, and relationships, to name a few. It's been such a joy to document our journeys week by week, learn more about each other as longtime friends, and connect with digital personalities like you, our listener. So Sophia and I have been friends for almost a decade now, which is really hard to believe that time has flown so quickly. But we always have so much to learn from each other, given our expertise, our lived experiences, our growth, our personal growths, as well as the synergy that makes up our friendship. Mm-hmm. So today, I need your advice, Sophia.
And I also need your advice, Tan, in the next episode. Hopefully people can gain some more insight into the vulnerable aspects of our friendship and also hear some personal thought processes when it comes to supporting our loved ones.
Ooh, I'm so excited. This is sort of like a Dear Bamboo and Glass, and I get to sort of be a listener in a way, getting to seek your advice. But what's nice is that you can ask me questions to better clarify or understand what I'm going through. So I'm going to frame this as Dear Bamboo and Glass. At work, I lack a lot of confidence and I catch myself having incredibly invasive self-talk, which we've talked about a couple of times actually on this podcast. Some examples of things that I tell myself include, oh my goodness, everyone's going to know I'm not capable and I'm a fraud and they're just tolerating me at this point because they already hired me. Or I also tell myself, how could I be so dumb? There's just no way I can possibly keep up with people who've had a couple of years of experience as well. And the reason I wanted to talk to you about this is because I've kind of gotten tired of how this self-talk can really ruin my day and week so easily, especially when it's not like anyone has said this to me directly. And I know that it's the meaning that I put behind these small incidents, whether it's like me reading into what a coworker says or what a manager says, that really give it so much power to ruin my day. So with that in mind, how do you think I can get rid of this self-talk, especially when I'm prone to believe it's at least 60% true?
First of all, thank you for sharing. I have definitely felt this in school and in work, and everything that you said really resonates with me. And I'm honored that you've decided to ask me for some thoughts or, you know, how I've handled a situation like this. So I guess the first thing I'll start with is I will try to not give the generic advice that I see a lot, which is like, oh, Tan, you know more than you think, or like others might know less than you think. Because for me, I actually really hate hearing that. I think it is kind of invalidating. Like, I really respect your intelligence and self-awareness. And if you really, really believe that you do know less than other people, I'm not going to invalidate that. Like, I trust you to evaluate that situation properly. And then I'll just walk you through how I would think when I'm facing those emotions.
That's really helpful to hear, because I think it's also hard to give that kind of advice when you have never been in the same workplace as me. So like, just because we are friends, that doesn't mean you necessarily would know how I really am at the workplace. Like, maybe I'm a completely different personality and I have completely different ways of being there.
Yes, definitely. And I will give my advice as someone who has been also a woman in tech, even though we've never been in the same company or the same job, the same team. And I'll also speak from the perspective of someone who does work with you on this podcast. But nonetheless, there's a lot of work and, you know, ups and downs involved. So and then the third perspective I'll take is as someone who has helped a lot of people, more junior PMs or even just new people on my team, I'll also give the perspective of someone who has been able to give some help to people in the past.
I'm excited.
So the first thing that I would want you to think about, or like just to take my perspective as someone who's helped other people, is often when I'm helping someone, it's not really about how much they know. Like, if you approach me for help, And I think about the times when people have approached me for help and when I've been pleased by that experience or annoyed by that experience, it's far less about how much you know when you're asking for help. And it's much more about your attitude and your process for asking for help. So I know this is something that you do quite well just based on the communication that we've had. But something that I think you already do really well naturally is showing what you've tried and what the gap is between where you are and where you want to go. And just framing the ask in that way goes a really long way. And it really, I'm a lot more excited to help you if I'm like, oh, Tan, she's tried this one thing. She knows generally where she's lost and where I can step in and help. And that is just so much more pleasant of an experience of me helping you than if you were to be like, oh my God, like, this is so boring. Like, I hate this. What do I do? And I'm like, I don't even know where to start with helping you. So just like some kudos to you. I don't know if you are aware that you do this, but I know from my experience that you are.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think I do try to show that I've tried things, but I've definitely had situations where like I'm just so lost. Like I don't even know where to start. And so I worry that in my attempt to show what I've tried, I just end up rambling because I'm really just more exposing how little I know. And so I guess, how do you react when someone approaches you and maybe has a similar similar statement that they start off with?
I think for me, seeing the attempt and just getting, and just even you proactively explaining what you don't know versus don't know, even if it's rambling, just even you being upfront about the fuzzy boundary of what you know and don't know, like even that is helpful. So for anyone who's looking, you know, speaking to a mentor or asking for help, like just define what you think you know and just tell me as much as you possibly can about what you don't know, so I like have a starting point to helping you.
I see. Okay, cool.
And so another perspective that I take as someone who's helped people is there are a lot of times when I've actually really enjoyed helping people. And so I know sometimes, you know, when I've felt like imposter syndrome and when I felt like a burden, this is something that I would have wanted to hear. So I'm just kind of speaking like mentor Sophia to like asking for help Sophia. So I think something that I would have wanted to know when asking for help is that like even the smartest mentors have days when they're stuck on stuff and they just need to feel like they accomplished one thing. So like for me, even like when I'm super busy and frustrated myself with my own work, there's, you know, that feeling of dread with my work, it sucks because I feel like I'm working on things with no emotional payoff towards the very end. And so sometimes when someone, even if they like interrupt me with a question, it feels nice to have that, you know, moment where I can help someone and have that emotional payoff or that
feeling of accomplishment. Also like a change in pace, I guess, in your day.
Right, exactly. And so you might assume that someone you're asking for help from is like, oh my God, they're so busy. Like they don't want to be distracted. Sometimes a quote unquote distraction can be a very welcome moment when your mentor feels like, okay, I'm stuck on my own thing, but Tan just reminded me that there's a lot of stuff that I do know that I'm able to do.
That's true.
Yeah. And so it, I think moments when people have, you know, even if they interrupted me and really inconvenienced me, when they ask for help and I'm able to help them, it actually gives me a feeling of accomplishment and momentum. It's like, okay, I did this thing. Like it gives me a little bit more optimism and energy. So that's one thing that you can keep in mind. Hopefully that encourages you to like reach out and ask for help.
That's a really, really great perspective.
Another thing is that you might actually be indirectly help. Another way you might be indirectly helping the person that you're asking for help from is that mentors need mentees like you to build their track record of becoming a manager. So a lot of my friends are at an age where they want to become people managers, and it is not easy to become a people manager. They have to have a really robust track record of helping summer interns, other people in their job, you know, mentors or mentees across the company. They need to have that track record of helping a lot of people before they get to have the title of being a people manager. So if there is someone, especially if you're asking for help from someone who has a career goal of being a manager, like maybe take a little bit of, you know, give your, feel happy about the fact that you're actually indirectly helping this person's career goal of becoming a people manager. And this is especially true if you're in, if your company is like where it's like kind of competitive to be a people manager. Like you need a lot of experience mentoring people.
We need clientele.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'll stop there. So I've talked about one, just giving you a little bit more credit in your really awesome attitude and asking for help. And then two, I've also given examples of ways you might be indirectly helping the person that you're asking for help from. Just wanted to see if you had any reactions or questions to
what I said. I mean, all of your points are really, really helpful to hear, because a lot of this is like 60% of it I know, but the 40% that I didn't know is that you provided is really powerful. Like, for example, I think the one that resonated the most was when you said, even the smartest mentors have days when they're stuck and they just need to feel accomplished in one thing. I feel like usually I just hear the advice that like, oh, even mentors, even people who have a lot of experience, like have days where they're stuck. And I think there's some validation in knowing that they're also human and they're also not going to always know things. But I think that second part of them also wanting to feel accomplished is really more relatable to me, actually, because I'm in this position where, yes, I'm stuck, and all I really want is to feel accomplished on the task that I have at hand, and to know that that can be a goal that both parties can have together is really empowering and makes me feel less like I'm taking away time and energy from them.
Right. It is very much a mutually beneficial thing. And a moment where when you solve the problem together, both sides end up feeling really happy and accomplished.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really glad that resonated with you, because then I'll share my next thought, which is sometimes when I feel imposter syndrome because I'm asking too many questions, one way I end up feeling better is finding opportunities to give back concretely to your team and kind of like paying it forward. So what are some examples of paying it forward, aside from the examples I already mentioned of like, you know, helping your mentor feel smart and helping them become a manager? So one way you can pay it forward to your team is to turn your questions into something that's useful for others, like creating a Q&A doc, like an onboarding doc for new people. All the questions that you're facing right now are probably questions that someone else is going to face in the future. And you would be helping your team a lot by documenting those questions and answers in a resource that can be shared with other people. Another thing you can do to give back concretely is to thank your mentor in a public setting that they would feel comfortable with. So for example, if you are in your daily engineering standup where you're sharing what I did, what I'm going to do, what I'm stuck on, and let's say you talked about something you finished, you can give a quick little shout out to your mentor. You're like, hey, I finished this really difficult task and I wanted to shout out Alex. Thanks so much for helping me with that. Just that's another small way you can give back. A third thing is to write a note to the manager of the person who's helping you and just do a quick summary saying, hey, Alex, I'm picking a gender neutral name. Hey, Alex really helped me with this task and with all these other things. Just wanted to let you know that Alex has been a great friend and mentor to me. That's a quick thing you can do to also turn, like to give back to the person or to your team.
Those are really great actionable items that you just mentioned. And I've seen people do those too. And I think even the one where you thank the mentor publicly, like I always wondered if people wanted to have attention be put on them, but if their manager is around, then that's a really great signal that, you know, if they also maybe seem to be behind on their work and you thank them for their help on your task, then the manager is able to better understand that, oh, okay, this person was balancing helping out a teammate, which is just as valuable as the work that they have to do on their own.
Yes, definitely. And great point. Like, I don't really know your teammates and how they prefer to be acknowledged. So definitely pick something that you think is appropriate for your team. And also, great point about, you know, it means a lot when you're receiving help and you're telling that person's manager. And it's just a lot better than like your mentor saying, oh, I was helping Tan. Like, she didn't say anything about it, but like, by the way, I've been helping Tan. You know, it's like, it's just so much nicer.
It's kind of like your next date where it's like harder to hype yourself up. Right. And it's a little bit easier for friends to spotlight things that you should brag about.
Exactly. And I have been someone who has received these nice notes from people who I've helped. And it really makes my day to know that someone appreciates me and that, and like kind of also just going back to why this documentation is helpful, think about it from the perspective of your mentor and their manager. If there's going to promotion that's happening, it really is nice to refer back to an email that someone wrote. And so that both people, like your mentor can say, oh, you know, in my performance review, I helped Pan a lot. And mm-hmm. that mentor, their manager could be like, okay, why should I put this person up for promo? I remember this person deserves a promo because they help other people on their team. Oh, what's a concrete example of that? Oh, right. Pan sent me an email documenting exactly what that help was and when it was. And so this documentation just really helps everyone.
That's a really great framing of people who are more junior in terms of what they're able to contribute to their teammates, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. The next thing, next idea I wanted to offer you is when I'm reflecting on moments I have imposter syndrome, I'm like, I'm taking up so much of this person's time. Like, how do I make it easier for that person to help me out? So something that I really like to do is instead of writing out a really long email, which is like, oh man, like
a lot of words, a lot of text.
If I see a wall of text, I'm like, dear God, I don't want to read this. Instead, you could try something else. Like maybe you can record your screen and make a quick video demoing what you tried. So like a screen recording tool like that you have on your computer, or you can use Loom or something like that. And this is a lot easier for the mentor to digest because they visually see the error or the setup. And videos are just a little bit more fun to watch. It's a lot more passive of a way to get information rather than having to like read through a wall.
Definitely. Trying to think about, it's like giving a presentation almost. And that kind of skill is important even in the day-to-day of asking for help so that someone can more quickly understand your problem and help you more quickly as a result.
So these are some perspectives that I'm hoping can be useful. Again, I know that I totally trust you when you say that you ask for help a lot and you feel you are very conscious of that. So I hope these tips are ways for you to continue asking the questions you need, but feel a little bit more confident and feel a little bit more confident when asking these questions.
Definitely. Do you have any other last tips that I could try out?
You know that saying where it's like a lot of times women have to be often, you know, overqualified for a job to even get it. I think when I get to have a job, despite being not overqualified, like despite being just as qualified as everyone else, it's, I don't know, I kind of see it as a form of winning. I don't know, I'm not explaining this really well, but I feel like it's kind of a hot take to say, like, it is nice to know that I get to have an opportunity, even if I'm not overqualified. There's something about that that I really appreciate as a woman.
I mean, I think this point and perspective goes back to what you said about attitude being a lot more important than just the sheer amount of knowledge that you have, because I have had experiences where I am working with people who maybe don't know as much as I had expected them to, but what makes a big difference in terms of how I perceive them is whether they are being proactive about asking for help or taking action and giving me updates and stuff versus someone who, I don't know, just drops off the face of the earth and I have no idea what their responsibilities are and whether they are following through with them. So
So that's some of my advice to summarize. Had some ideas for how you can make it easier for your mentor to help you, which hopefully gives you more confidence in asking for help. Also some ideas for remembering that when you ask for help, you in a really like efficient and proactive way, you can actually be helping the person who you're asking for help from. So it's really, really a win-win situation. And third, some ideas for more concretely thinking and giving credit to the people who are helping you.
Thank you so much for all of the different perspectives that you offer, perspective shifts, as well as the different action items that feel really attainable that I can do even tomorrow.
Yay! Thank you. I'm so glad this was could be a little helpful to you.
I'm really curious if our listeners also learned something from the advice that you gave me today. And so listeners, I hope you really enjoyed Sophia's expertise and advice that she gave me, I'm definitely taking it with me into my next week of work. And I hope that it helps you along the way if you've also experienced similar invasive self-talk. If you know a friend who maybe also would find this really helpful, definitely let them know that we're on every podcasting platform. And rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'd love to hear from you and get your feedback to learn what is other content that you would like us to cover on this podcast. And with that, I hope you stay tuned for next week's episode, because that's where I'll get a chance to provide some perspectives for Sophia's question on Dear Bamboo and Glass. So with that, we hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next Sunday.